I would have prepared long before time before I left St. Lucia as I sought the Lord's face. However, for those of us who are here who may not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, towards the end, I will certainly address you. I will make that my duty. But this morning, I really want to concentrate on leadership versus sheep. I want to be able to leave here knowing that God's people would have been encouraged to work together. And so Acts 20 is the text where I'm going to launch from, Acts chapter 20. But we'll turn to a few other scriptures because I think it is absolutely necessary. We just heard a wonderful rendition reminding us of the great name, the name above all names. And this is the one whom we serve. And it is absolutely necessary that we as believers work together. But in order to do that, I want this morning to look at Paul's admonition to the elders at Ephesus and further instructions in Ephesians. Basically, we want to look at the elders' responsibility, the believers' responsibility, and how believers should respond to good leadership. That is crucial. But before I continue, I want to acknowledge our visitors from France. Again, I just want to make use of my Creole. Sommevli, oui, monsieur, bon matin. Et que me capense, bon Dieu, qu'il bénit vous. Et que c'est un plaisir pour nous et puis nous, bon matin. So, bon Dieu, bénit vous. Et en pensez par l'évangile. Kai pour bénéfice au bon matin. Bon Dieu béni. Bienvenue. Sorry about that, those you didn't quite understand. I just used my Creole just to make our people feel more comfortable. Okay, so we are in Acts. Acts chapter 20, verse 25. So I have a few minutes to do all what I just outlined. Verse 24. 25. And now behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will see my face no more. Now, I'm not claiming that. I'm hoping you can see my face again. I'm hoping I can be back. It's a pleasure. It has been a pleasure being at Good Tidings, wonderful brothers and sisters who ministered to me in many ways than one, and they may not even be able to begin to imagine. Verse 26. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God, or the whole counsel of God, as some translation would have it. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit have made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Verse 31, let's read this. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that the night and day are a period of, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Amen. We want to make, as the Apostle Paul is about to leave Ephesus, suppose he had a wonderful relationship with the people there, more precisely in our text, the elders. And his heart is broken because he has to leave them. But he understands the difficulty of leadership and he wants to put them on guard. I suppose he developed a close relationship with them that would have brought him to tears, because if you read lower down, you'd understand They fell on him. They didn't want him. There was such a great love relationship between him and the elders, more specifically. And it was with great pain he had to leave. And then he's leaving the elders with an admonition. And he's saying to them what we just read in the text. But we want to see four observations in the text that we read. Four observations I would want to leave with us as believers. Observation number one, as we read the text, you would notice that the Apostle Paul would remind the elders of the authority or the appointment. He says, be on guard. Or you might read in your version to take heed. Be on guard. In other words, be always alert. Because the eldership is a duty of supreme importance in the body of Christ. Last Sunday we spoke of how our Lord Jesus, in his own words in the Gospel of John, spoke with relation to our predestination and how we are loved by God and how God loved us before he created the heavens on the earth. And because he loved us, he called us, the Apostle Paul says. And because he called us, he justifies us. And because he justifies us, he sanctifies us. And this morning, breaking of bread, as we sung up from the grave, arose, reminds us that we will be glorified. There is no if and buts about it. No devil and no hell cannot stop that. But it goes further than that. He have left us behind. And there is work to be done. And he would have placed certain authority over his people. So the Apostle Paul is reminding the elders as he leaves. He says to them, let me tell you something. Elders, you are in authority. I am leaving you in authority over the saints. And you did not appoint yourself. It is not a board kind of eldership thing. It's a biblical eldership. You did not appoint yourself. Verse 28, be on guard for yourselves, for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit have made you overseers. That's your authority. And that shouldn't be taken lightly. The call to eldership, in fact, as an elder, sometimes I say to people, if I was being paid to do this job, I would have resigned a long time ago. But this is hard work. This is tough. The call to eldership should be taken very seriously, number one, by the elders, but should be deeply appreciated by the saints. I don't know for the elders here, but it takes me days and weeks. You know how long it took me to prepare these messages? Weeks. Weeks. It's hard work. It's a tremendous authority that should be taken seriously, like I said, by the elders, but not just appreciated by the saints, deeply appreciated. Observation number one, elders' authority. Observation number two, elders' responsibility. The Holy Spirit have made you overseers to do what? To shepherd the church. Now I want to give you the picture of David as a shepherd. That is part of what it means to be on guard. You know, give careful attention to the calling, to the responsibility and the authority of eldership. Give careful attention to that. Be on guard. Look out for the flock. Look out. David says he would have killed a bear and a lion as he protected his flock, putting his own life at risk for the people of God. Unless we are ready to do that as elders, we are not ready to serve. It's tough. So we have authority and we have responsibility, oversight over the church of God. I did a sermon one time are entitled Blessed and Blisters of Eldership. Oh, sometimes it's good, but sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it's easy, but sometimes it's hard. But I will encourage you in a short while as to how we can make it work. It can work. Notice it is the Holy Spirit that raises men to be elders that must be carefully, properly, or rather, that must be properly comprehended by the saints. It's the Holy Spirit. And then the elders understand that, and so their dependency is on the Holy Spirit. And Brother Wilson prayed, it is the Holy Spirit. He's the one that inspires our worship. When we stand to worship, we don't know what we will say. Although sadly, I've been around and I've heard some brethren, it's like their program. When they stand, you know what they will say. It should not be so. We need to understand that we need to be more submissive, more open, and make ourselves more vulnerable to the Spirit of God, because that is His meeting. He is in control. It's not man. I don't know what I would say this morning. I don't know how I will end either. I just have a few points. But my dependency is completely, totally on the Holy Spirit. And it works. He is a person. You can enjoy Him. He is right next to you. He is with you everywhere you go. Turn to Him before you turn to John. There are certain issues I have with my wife, and I don't go to her. I go to the Holy Spirit. How do you want me to approach her? What do you want me to say? And He gives me the word, and I plugs it in, and it's dealt with. And sometimes I pray about the matter. And when I go to her, I was just thinking the same thing. How is that possible? You thinking the same thing I just prayed about? Holy Spirit. And so it is He that appoints the leadership that have to be respected, appreciated, appropriated by the believers. Authority, responsibility. But on the part of the believers now, shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. The cost, the value of God's people, the worth of the saints, that must be understood by the leadership. I mean, there are several, we do not have time, several advantages of really understanding that. 1 Corinthians 6:20, 1 Corinthians 7:23, 1 Corinthians 6:24, you have been bought for a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. But you are looking at the cost. The cost, the price that was paid for His flock. You know, I spoke to my wife yesterday. And before I left home, I would have gone to my neighbors. And because we have a good relationship. I said, I'm out for a while. Please cast an eye on my wife, my family. And then I spoke to her yesterday. And she said, everybody in the neighborhood are looking out for her. And that's beautiful. Our Lord Jesus Christ left, and He left certain responsibilities to the elders. And let us understand that the church is His bride. That's His wife. Cast an eye, as it were, or take care of my wife. How would you feel if she was ill-treated? I wouldn't feel good if my wife were to tell me that the neighbors didn't treat her well. I wouldn't feel good. So the cost of the flock, but also the vulnerability of the flock, which He purchased with His own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. The flock can be very vulnerable. Vulnerable. And that's why we will look at Ephesians, that the number one responsibility of the elder is to feed the flock. Make sure, and there are reasons why the flock must be fed. Flock is very vulnerable. And there are different levels of maturity, and it's just stuff. That's why I suggest everywhere I go, and I probably might just mention it this morning, I believe from the bottom of my heart, in every leadership, there should be at least one elder that should devote and commit himself to preaching the word of God. That should be your devotion and your commitment. At least one. And then all the elders would be used in their various capacity and ability and gifts and so on. But at least one. It's how serious it is. The Apostle Paul reminds us, sorry Peter, in 1 Peter 5, 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. The willingness. Let us put all of what I said into one lump. Brethren, unless we first understand how much God loves us, and unless our number one motive for doing what we do is love, you know what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13? It doesn't make sense. Why are you here this morning? What's your motive? Why do you do what you do? Why do we have the outreach? Why do we have the communion service? Why do our sisters come and sing so beautifully? What's the motivation? It is something that calls for self-examination. Why do I do what I do? Is it because I really love the Lord? Or is it because of some other ulterior motive? One of the most frightening things I've ever discovered in Scripture is in the Psalms, when the Scripture reminds us, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Now let me tell you, for 30, 40 years, you are laboring in the church. You are laboring, but the Lord is not in it. And at the end of the day, all your labor goes to waste. That's scary. The Lord builds it when we understand how much he loves us, and when we love him, the Lord builds it when we are completely, totally submissive to the Holy Spirit of God, and when we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Except the Lord build a house, I don't care how long you've served, I don't care how long I have served, I don't care how many sermons I have preached, if my motivation is not love, then I am not building with the approval or the favor of God. So it's a difficult responsibility. But the saints has their responsibility too, Hebrews 6:10. So we see the vulnerability of the believers, the cost and the worth of the believers. But the saints have a responsibility according to Hebrews 6:10. It says, for God is not unjust. Now before I go to that, just an encouragement for the elders. God is not unjust as to forget your work and labor, or your work and the love which you have shown towards his name by having reserved, by still serving the saints. God will not forget. And then, believers now, obey your leaders. Submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who give an account, so that they may do this with joy, Hebrews 13:7, not groaning, for this would be unhelpful for you. The elders have to give short accounts, but they also have to give a final account when they appear before the judgment seat of Christ. For me, that's scary. What do they say? You want to know that the elders give account of you, whether it's short accounts, Or when they appear before the seat, you want to know that they would do that with joy. But in the interim, as the elders consider and evaluate evaluate the believers and what's happening among God's people, that they want to be able to say, Lord, this is good. I am so thankful. I am so happy. The believers are showing up and things are happening and they are giving these accounts, but they are giving it with joy because you are responding in love. Believers, you should make this a joyful job. The job of submission. Since the elders, since you are on the receiving end of the leadership's ministry and work. A church willingness to obey and submit affects the joy and the care they receive from the leaders. Sorry, unwillingness. Or willingness. If you have a church that is willing to submit, then you have elders. You know what they say, happy wife, happy home? If you have a church that is willing to submit, then you have elders that are happy to preach and to work. But leaders can lead in a way that makes obedience and submissive easy and happy as well. Or difficult and frustrating. And that's vice versa. Elders should labor for the joy of those they serve. Not necessarily. There are a lot of things I don't appreciate in my assembly or that hurts, but and it brings sadness to me. But for the joy of those you serve, we labor. The saints, but most importantly, God. God. Believers, 1 Thessalonians 5:12. But we ask you, brothers and sisters, to recognize those who diligently labor among you and are in leadership over you in the Lord, and give you instruction, and that you regard them highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. Esteem them, regard them highly because of their work. You love them because of that. You appreciate them because of that. You walk with them because of that. You pray for them. I beg literally the saints back home to pray for me every day. I can't make it without their prayers. I'm not a one-man standalone. I know it all. I can do it all. No. That's not the plan. That's not the intention. That's not the pattern of God and the things of God. Observe elders who labor, who serve, who work diligently, and the Bible says, love them because of that. Now, we've learned, which is true, when you think of agape love, it speaks to sacrificial love, but we've learned that God loves us in spite of, and you should only love in spite of, no. The scripture says we love because God first loved us. God loves in spite of who we were. It's a love that looks down upon us and see the mess we are in and our rebellion, but yet he chose to love us. So he loved us in spite of who we were, what we had done, and how messed up we were. But there is a love that responds in that context to the hard work and labor of the elder. You love him because ye have, that's what the scripture says, verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians 5, and that you regard them highly in love because of their work. And so if every other thing about your elder you don't like, there is something you need to love him for: his work. And that shouldn't be, but I'm just drawing this reference. Love him because of his work. It's not the easiest thing, but it has to be done. Because the elders are there to equip the saints, Ephesians 4 to 16. The elders are there to equip the saints of God for the work of the ministry, building up the body of Christ. Verse 13, until. This could be a lifetime job as long as the elder is available and capable. Until, verse 13 of Ephesians 4, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. And we see in the rest of the verses the results. I mean, it yields great results when the elders function properly. That the saints will be no longer children, verse 14. That the saints would speak the truth in love, verse 14. And that they would grow up in all aspects of their lives, verse 14. And everybody would fitly join, verse 16. Proper working of each individual part. People will find their niche, people will find their place in the body of Christ, and they will operate and work properly. And that the church would be built up in love. The number one motivation of the church is love. My time is up almost. 5 more minutes. But if this morning, saints, you take something home, is the importance of working together. It's not about preference. It's not about what I like or what I don't like. It's about what the Holy Spirit has said that must be done in spite of you like it or I like it or not. Let us understand, he made the appointment, he dictates, he determined what must be done, how it must be done, as the elders prayerfully seek the face of God. And don't, it's like a husband, you know. Sometimes our wives may not necessarily like the decisions we take, but in submission, they agree. You're the head, you're in control. I don't really like it, and I teach my wife to express herself. I don't really like it, but you're in charge. So I'm going to give you the support you need. I'm going to give you this whatever support you need. And if it fails, wives, don't come and say to your husband, I told you so, you know. That's not true submission. If it fails, you help him when it fails. You help him recoup. And so that's the same thing with the elders. Don't come and tell the elders, No. The elders will fail as well. Let us understand that God made men high priests who have infirmities. We need to work together. It's not about us. It's about love. It's about God. It's about Calvary. We came this morning and we worship him. We know, we heard about this man. Find no fault in him. And for those of you who are not saved, there was no fault in Christ or no reason why he should be crucified for your sins and my sins. But then on the flip side, if there was fault, he could not have been crucified. It is because there was no fault in him. He was qualified to be crucified. You look at in Leviticus, the lamb without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle, perfect, spotless. So why we understand that there was no fault in our Lord Jesus and he took our sins and so on, we understand he could not have been crucified if there was fault. A statement that was supported by the apostles Peter, John, I find no fault in him. He did nothing. In him there was no fault at all. Even the thief on the cross, we read this morning, this man did nothing amiss. Pilate's wife suffered many things because of this just man. And Judas, who betrayed him, said, I have betrayed innocent blood. Spotless Lamb of God took your place on that cross, died that cruel death for you. He's here this morning. Arms spread wide, and he's saying to you this morning, there is forgiveness. No matter what you've done, no matter what, how you've messed up, there is forgiveness. You can be part of that fold, that flock we have been discussing this morning. You can be part of that flock. Our Lord Jesus says in John 10, 16, and I have all the sheep that are not of this fold. You might be outside of that fold. Jesus is saying to you this morning, you can come in. And I will shepherd you. I have died for you. I took your sins in my own body. And I have other sheep that is not of the fold. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. If you don't listen this morning and you reject Jesus Christ, you are not a sheep. But if you are a sheep, you will listen. That's what he says. The divine intervention of God in your spirit and in your soul. That's that procedure only the syringe of the Holy Spirit can make after being exposed to the word of God in your heart by transforming your heart, giving you a heart of flesh in exchange for that heart of stone. And they will become one flock with one shepherd, the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, and the under shepherd, the elders. Are you here this morning? My time is up. Thank you, Brother Trevor, for giving me 10 more minutes. I don't know how I would have done that. Thank you so much. I appreciate. You are here this morning, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the Spirit of God is really tugging at you. And the Spirit of God is saying to you, make this decision. Because no man knows what a day may bring forth. It's not too late. At the 11th hour, the thief on the cross, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. But there was another stupid thief that accused Jesus. One, both died. One entered into the glory of God. And one went to hell. Heaven can be your portion this afternoon. Will you right where you are, I'm giving you 90 seconds, and I'll keep my mouth shut, do business with God, right where you are. You could ask him to come into your life. You could say, not loud, but in your mind, in whatever way you want, Lord, I am a sinner, forgive me, I am messed. Whatever way, if you call upon God this morning, he will hear. So 90 seconds. If you made this decision, get some brother and let them know. Let them know I accepted Jesus Christ this afternoon. And they will give you further instruction and further information and confirm to you that the decision you have made is the best. My heart's desire, brethren, I thank God for good tidings. I think it's an assembly. It's my home assembly away from home. The warmth and so on has been tremendous by the elders and some wonderful sisters and so on. And God permit, I will be back. I will be joining you on the Zoom. I enjoy that as well. I enjoy the Zoom meetings as long as it doesn't clash with my own meetings. By the way, pray for us. We are having a gospel outreach. A week of gospel meetings later in the month. So I leave on Tuesday, God willing, to make sure I prepare for that. So remember us in your prayer that God would move amongst the people of my community. And so again, thank you for the warmth. See you when I see you. God bless you.